In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "Trust in Yahweh, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." This morning we want to focus our attention on lean not on your own understanding. We are not to support ourselves or rely on ourselves or trust in ourselves. And so as we think about the word understanding in Proverbs 3:5, we come to understand from God's revelation that our understanding is an aspect of being created in the image of God, that He has blessed us with intellect, and that intellect is a part of, it is a component of our heart. So instead of focusing on the singular aspect of understanding in Proverbs 3:5, I want to encourage us this morning to think about that God is calling us not just to not lean on our own understanding, but He is calling us not to lean on our own heart, but to lean on His. And so I want to give you a list this morning, and with this list, I'm just going to give you one scripture to keep it simple. And I want to encourage you as you make this list and as you reflect on this list in your time, as you take God's Word and you seek Him in His Word, that you can expand on all of the different verses that speak to these points. Lean not on your own heart. Number one, lean not on your own understanding. And so Proverbs 3:5. Lean not on your own ability to take information and separate the facts from the fiction. That's what that word means. It has to do with discernment. And so lean not, number one, on your own understanding. A second component of our heart, a second component of being created in the image of God, is that God has emotions. And we too have emotions. And God is calling us not to lean on our own emotions. A lot of verses that we could point to, but I want to point us to 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is a text that we've read together over the last few weeks. 1 Kings 18, one of my favorite historical events in all of the Bible. This is not a story. This is a historical event. This really happened in a real place. These are real people who are standing on a real mountain that you can visit today. And so what we have in 1 Kings 18 is the battle of the gods on Mount Carmel. And so in one corner you have the prophet of God, a man of God, Elijah. And in the other corner you have these prophets of Baal. And so there's a showdown on Mount Carmel between the true and living God, Yahweh the Lord, and His prophet, and this false god, and the prophets that belong to this false god. And I want you to see in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 28 and 29, that they were very emotional about their God. And as we read these two verses together, I want you to see that there is no indication whatsoever that this is performative. This is not performance art. This is passion. These people are all in for their God. They are zealous for their God. They are on fire for their God. They cried aloud, verse 28, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Lean not on your own emotions. You must not be led by your feelings. Lean not on your own emotions. And a third aspect of our heart, as God has revealed it to us in His Word, is our will. God has a will. And as an image bearer, you have a will. And the will of God is not that you would lean on your will, but that you would lean on His. And as we think about all of the verses that we could point to that make this point, how can we not turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 36? Here is Jesus. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's not participating in performance art. He is participating in passionate, zealous prayer. And He begins His prayer by saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me, this cup of wrath." This cup of wrath that would enable Him to take away the sin of the world. "Take this cup away from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own emotions. Lean not on your own will. Lean not on your heart. Later in the year, we are going to study the book of Jeremiah together. Bill will lead our adult study of that class, and Brad Broomton will lead our young people's study of that class. And so by the time we get to it, you'll forget, and they'll forget, that I walked all over their class this morning. But I'm going to walk all over it. Jeremiah chapter 9. Not only are we not to lean on our own understanding, not only are we to not lean on our own emotions and our own will, but in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, we have this great list of things that we are not to trust in, that we are not to lean on. We are not to lean on our own wisdom, we're not to lean on our own might, and we're not to lean on our own riches. And so the prophet Jeremiah is prophesying before the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah to the Babylonians, during the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah to the Babylonians, and after the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah to the Babylonians. And Jeremiah specifically is in Jerusalem. He is prophesying from the capital city, from the city of David, from the city of God. And as he speaks on behalf of the Lord says in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." So the verse for wisdom that I'm giving you this morning is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. As we think about might, "Let not the mighty man glory in his might." I want to draw your attention to Psalm 90, verse 10. This is something that I learned this week. Psalm 90, verse 10. So Psalm 90 is a psalm that we've been talking about for quite some time. In the context of the pandemic, in the context of loved ones that we have lost over the last 2 years, in the context of our reading God's Word together, we have drawn attention to Psalm 90 again and again. It is unique in a number of ways. Moses is the inspired author of Psalm 90. It's the only psalm that Moses is credited with. And so in Psalm 90, verse 10, we read, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength," that's the same word in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, that's translated "might." The days of our lives are 70 years. If by reason of might, they are 80 years. You are not, and I am not, to lean on my own wisdom. Because no matter how wise you or I may think we are, we're not wiser than Solomon. We're not wiser than Emmanuel, God with us. We are not wiser than the Spirit of wisdom. We are not wiser than the God who alone is wise. And when it comes to our might and our strength, we're all getting older. But some of us are more aware of it than others. Brother Larry's feeling better today. And we rejoice in that with you, brother. The last time we saw Terry Walton, she could walk. And I want to point out to all of us today, she's here. And that encourages me. Amen. She didn't walk in here today. You're going to get old. And you're going to lose your might. You can't support yourself with the vibrance of youth. You can't rely on that. You can't trust in that. And riches. There are a lot of verses about riches in God's Word. When it comes to wisdom and might and riches, Jeremiah 9:23 is a great little single verse outline, but that's going to be a lot of what the book of Ecclesiastes is about that we're going to turn our attention to on Wednesday night. And so when we think about all the verses, this is the one I want to draw your attention to this morning. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Verses 4 and 5. This is information that all of us need, but particularly for our young people who are in school, thinking about careers, thinking about what they might do to earn a living. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to learn that money is a defense. And what money will do is it will defend you from being hungry. It will defend you from nakedness. It will defend you from being without shelter. And so listen very carefully to the wisdom of God about riches and not leaning on them. Proverbs 23:4, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Well, what understanding is that? Well, just look around. From your experience, what have you seen in life under the sun when it comes to riches? Will you not set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, but you know, you put some money in your checking account, and now we have a debit card, right? And so we don't have to write a check anymore. You know, does this generation even know what a check is? You know, my mom, she would say when I was growing up, she said, "Well, I don't have the money to buy that," and I would say, "Well, just write a check." And so, you know, this new generation, they don't understand even what a check is. But have you ever had this experience where you know you've got money in your checking account and you go to make a withdrawal from the ATM and there's nothing in there? It's just no funds. And what happened to it? And that happens every day all over the world. And so people who overwork to be rich and their whole life revolves around that, and they're leaning on that, or they're relying on that, they're trusting on in that. There's a high suicide rate among folks like that, beloved. Why is that? Because they're leaning on something that will make itself wings and it will fly away. And then what? Lean not on your riches. And Ezekiel 33, this is the verse I would draw your attention to about God's call for us not to lean on our own righteousness. Ezekiel chapter 33. So Ezekiel is a contemporary of Jeremiah. He's also a contemporary of Daniel. And so Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel are contemporaries. And the difference between those men and their work is location. And so Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. Daniel is in the capital of the Babylonian Empire. And Ezekiel, he drew the short end of this prophecy stick, beloved. I mean, he is living rough down by the river, the Kabar River. And Ezekiel is prophesying just like Jeremiah, before the fall, during the fall, and after the fall. And so in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 21 and 22 describe the fall of Jerusalem. Prior to the fall, this is some need-to-know information, Ezekiel 33, 12 and 13. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered, but because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. That is precisely the point of the first three chapters of the book of Romans. We need to understand that God has spoken concerning righteousness, and there is a righteousness that is your own, and your own righteousness cannot, will not save you. And the reason that that is true is because your righteousness is not absolute. You have sinned. Romans 3:23. You do, present tense, fall short of the glory of His perfect, complete, absolute righteousness. Do not lean on your own righteousness. Lean on His. When we think about Proverbs 3:5 and all the other scriptures that speak to us about leaning not on ourselves, this is not a call to be irrational. It's not a call to set aside our heart, but it's a call to rest our hearts fully upon His. Nothing that we could do is more foolish than leaning on ourselves. To lean on ourselves in this life as we attempt to make our journey from earth to heaven is the height of foolishness, and it's a path to misery. There is nothing that we could do that would be wiser than leaning on Him. Of all the verses that we could point to that just make this point, Proverbs 28, verse 26. So from Proverbs 1 to Proverbs 23, there are two voices that are attempting to gain our attention. We have folly personified, and we have wisdom personified. We have the wisdom that is from below personified. We have the wisdom that is from above personified. And Proverbs 28, verse 26 says to us that if we trust in our own heart, then we're fools. There's a greater heart to trust in. There's a greater heart to lean on than your own. And that's good news. And of all the scriptures that we could turn to that speak to all of this, the one I want to draw our attention to this morning is in Jeremiah chapter 17. I want you to see with me in Jeremiah chapter 17, page 889 in the Chair Bible. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, this is the only passage I'm drawing attention to in the Chair Bible this morning because I want to emphasize the importance of it. Page 889, Jeremiah chapter 17. As we read through these verses together, I want you to see how all of this comes together in these verses. Lean not on your heart, but lean on His heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. So what's Jeremiah talking about? He's talking about the sin of Judah. 17:1. In 17:5, the Lord says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man." Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Watch this. Whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. By contrast, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in Yahweh. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Watch this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at the end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Lean not on your own understanding, on your own emotions, on your own will, on your own wisdom, on your own might and riches and righteousness. Lean on His. What does this look like in real life? I mean, that's a great list. Those are some great verses that validate the list. And there are others that we could point to make the same point about those seven things. But what does this look like in real life? What does it look like to lean not on your heart, but to lean on His heart? Daily. This is what it looks like. When you lean on your heart, this is how you go through your day. You go through your day thinking to yourself, I think. You go through your day responding to other people saying, well, let me tell you what I think. I believe. Well, I know. Well, I don't know about you, but I trust. That's what leaning on your own heart looks like in real life. That's where the rubber of what you really believe meets the road of reality. So in real life, what does leaning on His heart look like by contrast? It looks like that you go throughout your day saying to yourself and communicating to others, Thus saith the Lord. God has spoken. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And God has written down in a book what He wants us to know about Him and His will for our lives. And later in the year, we will just spend some time looking at that expression, thus saith the Lord. We'll spend some time looking at that expression, thus says Yahweh. And what we will see is that when the Lord says, thus says the Lord, that His expectation is that whatever He says is what's going to be in the heart of the one that He says it to. One example of it. Exodus 5 verse 1. Very familiar account. What's going on in Exodus 5? Pharaoh is the leader in Egypt who is persecuting God's people. And the Lord raises up Moses and He sends him to Pharaoh. And this is the first thing that Moses says to Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord. Pharaoh's response is, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And there is where it all comes back around full circle to the importance of knowing the Lord, which is the point of the Bible. In the beginning, God. What is the point of the Bible? That we might know God. That we might know His heart. That we might understand who we are in relation to Him. And that we might understand that He is calling us not to think and believe and know and to trust in ourselves, but to think and to believe and to know and to trust in Him. What does this look like in real life? It looks like we go throughout our day remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. It's not about what I think or what I believe or what I know and what I trust. It's about Jesus. It's about Emmanuel. It's about the one in whom the treasures of wisdom and knowledge abide in. And so that expression, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, is found in Acts 20, verse 35. And in Acts 20, what we have is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. So let's paint the picture, right? Paul has called me and Greg and Tony to a place outside of Annandale to talk to us about the work at Annandale. And this is the last time we're ever going to see him. And it's a very emotional conversation. And he's saying, look, after I leave, wolves are going to come in here. They're going to come into the Annandale church and they're going to try to divide and devour the sheep of our one shepherd. And so you need to be about the business of preaching the whole counsel of God. And I didn't shun away from declaring anything to you concerning the whole counsel of God. And then he says in Acts 20 verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And watch this. He quotes words of the Lord Jesus that aren't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first time that we ever read those words are in Acts 20, verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen, beloved, if you're going to remember something, you had to first know it. We don't know what we don't know. If you don't know the words of the Lord Jesus, you got some work to do. Because it is God's will for you to know His words. And there's only one way to know them. And that's the point of the Bible, that when you read, you read. When you read. When it comes to the education of our children, there's been a lot of discussion about that where we live in the last couple of years. I'll tell you one thing I know about the education of our children from heaven. God wants our kids to know how to read. And He wants our kids to know how to read well so that they can read His Word for themselves. When you think about Ephesians 3 and you think about the church at Ephesus, the same men and the same church that Paul is speaking to in Acts 20 verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? That was a city in the Roman Empire that was full of slaves. And it was a church that had slaves within it. And I want to tell you something about slavery in the first century. Slaves could read. They were highly educated. For the most part, they were used to train and educate the children of folks who could afford to have them. It is God's will for the greatest to the least to be able to read His Word so that they can know Him and hide His Word in their hearts so that when they're going through their day and they don't have their Bible out, they can remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And they're not living their day with I think and I believe and I know. But they're living their day remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. What does this look like in real life? 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. A lot of verses we could use to make this point. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, depending upon the translation that you use. That's a good word to look up because I don't necessarily use that in everyday language. You know, I don't stand up here. I don't think I've ever stood up here or anywhere else that I've taught and preached and said, I want to expressly say something to you. So what does that word mean? It literally means outspokenly. We don't have to wonder what that means, right? I mean, there are way too many voices in our world right now. And more often than not, the people that are the most outspoken are the people who have the least amount of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. This is the Holy Spirit of God who is outspoken. This is the Spirit of wisdom that's personified in the Proverbs that stands in the marketplace and calls out. The Spirit distinctly in stated terms speaks. So what does leaning on the heart of God look like? In real life, it looks like what Jesus called us to in Luke 9 verse 23. The first thing that you're going to have to do if you're going to be this man's disciple is you've got to deny yourself. The second thing you have to do is take up your cross daily. No self-respecting person. I didn't say Jew. No self-respecting person in the first century would have worn a cross as a piece of jewelry. And the reason why they wouldn't have done that is because of what a cross is. It is an instrument of death. Take up your cross daily is the call by the one who we preach, Christ and Him crucified. It is a call on a daily basis to die daily. To daily deny self, die with Him, and live not within ourselves but within Him. To think His thoughts, to say His words, to behave as He behaved. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. And so the last red letter words we have of Jesus are in the book of Revelation. And you know what He says to the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation? He says, He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And beloved, that is precisely what this is. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does with His sword is He convicts you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And I submit to you for your consideration this morning, that is why this book is not read as much and as often as it should be, because this book
messes with you. And it messes with you because of the nature of it. It is the living Word of God. It messes with you because the Spirit works through this Word to convict you that you're not living your life right. That you're living your life for yourself and not for the Lord. Not to the glory of God, but to the glory of yourself. You're living your life in a foolish way. And God has given you the glorious opportunity because of His grace and His mercy and His love for you to repent of that and for you to live gloriously. To live in Him, not leaning on yourself, but leaning on Him. And so this is the conclusion of the whole matter this morning as you turn your attention to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. A lot of verses that we could go to make the point that I want to make. But Proverbs 11, 22 is the one. Go to that one. Highlight that one. Meditate upon that one. And go back to our list. And see that while something in particular is specified in Proverbs 11, verse 28, that the principle applies to all seven facets of leaning not on your heart, but leaning on His. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. What's the conclusion of the whole matter this morning? If you lean on your heart, then you will fall. God has spoken. I mean, there's a lot to hear. You know, the point of this morning is not to overwhelm you, discourage you. Let's be honest. There's a lot to hear. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to see concerning thus saith the Lord, and there's a lot to remember about what Jesus said, and to trust that the Spirit is speaking. There's just a lot involved in all that. And so, it may be that, like me, there are times that you can get distressed over that. You can become overwhelmed about that. And if that's how you feel, I have felt that too. I want to encourage you to think about the question that's asked in Revelation 6, verse 17. The question that's asked in Revelation 6, verse 17 is within the context of a specific person and a specific event and specific people that are involved in that. But the question applies to what we're talking about this morning. And the question is this: who is able to stand in the great day of the wrath of the Lamb? Who is able to stand? Beloved, no one who is leaning on their own heart will be able to stand. The conclusion of the book of Revelation is this: there are those who will stand because God is able to make us stand. God is able. By His power, not our own, we stand by grace in grace. We stand by faith. We are to stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That is a process. We must stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, we must stand in the power and the strength of the Lord. So how do we do that? What does that look like in real life? Lean on His heart and stand. We're going to sing a song to encourage us as we've been thinking about all these things this morning. Soldiers of Christ Arise, number 231. And you'll notice on page 231 that below the title of the song, Soldiers of Christ Arise, there's the text from Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Be strong in the Lord Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You continue reading, having done all to stand. And so the song is a call. The song is a call that we would lean not on our own heart, but that we would lean on His. That having all things done, that all of our conflicts passed, that we may overcome through Christ alone. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It is possible to overcome. And that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That you would overcome. That you would overcome with the Lamb of the book of Revelation. That you too would stand on Mount Zion, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. The final act of our salvation, our glorification, when we overcome all through Him and with Him, and we share in His glory, not as heirs, but as joint heirs in Christ Jesus. That's how much our God and Father loves us. He's not just making us heirs through His only begotten Son. He is making us joint heirs in Christ Jesus, Romans 8. That is powerful motivation to trust and to lean and to fear and to love the true and living God. Is that where you are this morning? Do you love Him with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your might? That's the first and greatest commandment. And to lean not on your own understanding, but with the totality of yourself, to just trust Him with all of it. Does that describe you this morning? If it doesn't, and we can help you grow in His grace and knowledge and come into a greater faith, we'd love to have the opportunity to do that. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, let us spiritually arise. Soldiers of Christ, arise. And let us live lives that reflect that it doesn't matter what we think. And it doesn't matter what we believe. And it doesn't matter what we know. And it doesn't matter who or how we trust. The only thing that matters is the voice of our Father. The voice of our Lord and King. And the voice of our Spirit to the glory of God. Let's stand and sing together. Let's literally stand. Everyone but Terry. Let us arise and sing number 231, Soldiers of Christ, Arise, as our brother Wade leads us.